Hey guys, it's Jeff. Welcome back to the Pop Goggles podcast. This is a bonus episode where I'm going to tell you guys my story, and I'm pretty nervous, but and I wasn't going to do it. I told you guys in the last episode that I was going to do it, and then I was like, and then I got a lot of messages saying that people were excited about it. So here's the deal. It may not be, I was afraid. I was like, it's not going to be funny or entertaining. If it's not, and because that's not my intent of this, I'm hoping that it helps somebody that's struggling. I get a lot of messages about that, and that's more important to me. And my story is pretty dark, so it's sometimes hard to make funny. But I'll kind of start from the beginning of when I started to use. I'll give you like a little background on myself, like where I grew up and stuff, and then I'll jump into when I started using it until I got sober. So I am from New Jersey, if you guys didn't know. I have a twin brother. I have two older sisters. My mom, they're actually technically both half-sisters. My mom got married, had my sister Tiffany, got divorced, got married, had my sister Katie, got divorced, got married, had my brother and I. My brother and I are twins. I grew up in New Jersey. My one sister's 13 years older. The other one is 7 years older, very close. As a kid, I was always very irritable. I wasn't like problematic, like just very irritable. Everything annoyed me. I had OCD from a young age. My parents took me to a psychiatrist and things like that. My brother and I, we always joke we came out of the womb as adults. We were never children. We didn't really like other kids. And so, yeah, that was me as a kid. Skipping to, what was it? Why is it making this fucking noise? This thing is so sensitive. And then, yeah, I don't really need to tell you guys all that stuff. We'll just kind of start with, like, when I started to use. So, I was 15 or 16 in high school when I – probably 15, actually. When I – no. Yeah, 15, when I started hanging out with kids that were older. But it wasn't, like, because of them that I drank. It wasn't, like, oh, the older kids. It was just – I had started working. I started working at, like, 14 at Domino's, and I'd met this kid, and – he was a senior, I was a freshman, so I became friends with, like, all of his friends. And I guess because of that, I would just, like, they were, all those other people were already drinking, so I'd go out and drink and do things like that. By sophomore year, I had, like, no friends in my actual grade. They had all either just graduated or they were seniors. But I spent most nights going out, like, on school nights and things like that. And so I would just, like, go out all night, and then I would sometimes show up directly to homeroom. Like, I remember one time I was playing beer pong, like, threw my last cup, and then was like, gotta go to homeroom. Went there, was doing that whole spiel for a bit, but, like, still very capable and very functioning and everything like that. Everything was fine. My parents were just like, oh, they didn't give a fuck what I did. So it was fine for me to go out and party and do whatever. I don't know if they, like, fully even knew what I was doing, but they truly didn't care. They let me have parties at the house. I would have keggers at the house. It was always like, yeah, cool, just do it here. Which everybody loved. And so, yeah, and then by, like, 16, would start smoking. No, 15, I started smoking weed, too. By 16, like, I had tried coke. Wasn't, like, into it. And, yeah, 16 coke. I don't think anything else at that point. I still wasn't, like, crazy. But I remember at that point, definitely, like, my only intent was to drink. That's the only thing that excited me. And I always said, like, when I was a kid, there was always two things that I look forward to when I got older. I couldn't wait to grow up so that I could drink and drive. Obviously not both together, although I did, which is not great. I did get a DUI, which we'll speak about later. So, yeah, then I, whatchamacallit. So at 17, I was having a party at my house, and a friend of mine, a very good friend, actually, who I do not blame for this or anything like that, poured out a powder on my bathroom, in my bathroom upstairs, and was just like, do this. And I was like, okay. And I don't know what it, I guess maybe, I don't know if I thought it was coke, because I think I knew that it looked a little bit different, and I knew something was different. It was different. It's a smaller amount, things like that. I don't know what I thought it was, to be honest with you, but I was like, sure, I'll try it. And I remember I did it. And I remember that night was weird too. I go downstairs and some girl's like, who can drive stick that wants to smoke a blunt? And I was like, me. So I remember I'm like feeling really good. I'm drunk. I just snorted heroin. And then my friend was like, yeah, let's go do that. So I'm like in her Cobalt SS supercharged, driving her to go, like, we're going to get weed somewhere. We ended up like fucking in her front seat in the middle of a cul-de-sac, which was interesting. So it was just all weird. It was a weird night. We ended up coming back. We got the blunt. Wake up the next day. And I'm like, wow, like, what a night. What was that that you gave me? And he's like, heroin. And I think for a second, I was, of course, shocked, like, what? And I guess I think I only thought that you could, like, shoot it, or I wasn't, educated on it. So I was like, okay. And then I was like, well, let's get it again. And obviously, that's not a normal reaction. Most people would be like, whoa, I can't believe I did heroin. But me, sorry, excuse me, as an addict, was like, yeah, that was, I guess, the first indication of addiction. Actually, that's a lie. The first real indication for addiction for me was when I was in middle school and I was addicted to gambling. Me and my friends would play poker, and I'd always be like, I'll buy back in, I'll buy back in. And I went into like thousands of dollars worth of gambling bet. My parents had to bail me out and whatever. That's a whole other thing. But looking back, that's real, my first real indicator of addiction. That and candy when I was younger. But going back. So yeah, I was like, let's get it again. And we did. And again, snorted it. It was like, this is amazing, this is amazing. And I just did it every single day after that. Like, it just happened that quickly because I was just so obsessed. And I remember, like, a month in, one day I woke up and I was like, wait a minute. I was like, I think I have the flu. And my friend was like, I think I do too. And then I was like, wait a minute, we're in heroin withdrawal, which I didn't know what about. I didn't know about that either. I feel like, again, some people were like, yeah, that's why they say heroin that's is so bad. I don't know why. I always heard that heroin was so bad, but I did not know why. And it's because of the physical addiction aspect. Like crystal meth, you don't withdraw from. Coke, you don't withdraw from. None of that. Opiate withdrawal is, it's unbearable. It's honestly, I can't think of anything worse. And so yeah, I remember being like, okay. And my first thought was like, oh my God, so we have to stop doing this. Like, I'm going through heroin withdrawal. This is bad. But I was like, well, I don't want to feel this right now, so I'll just get it again. And that continued. And then through my senior year of high school, like, I had gotten random drug tested twice. Was getting in trouble in school, like, because of that, because of the failed drug test, because my behavior was so erratic. I remember one time we had to do a running test in gym. I'm running around the track. Every single lap, I screamed in the face of my gym teacher, like, fuck you! And, like, just this crazy. It was just erratic. I was very erratic. And so I graduated. I remember, like, right when I was about to graduate, I called my sister who was living in California, and I was like, Kate, I'm addicted to heroin. I need to stop. So I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna like withdraw myself, or I'm gonna detox myself. And I remember even on my graduation day, I was detoxing, because I had made the decision before then. And so I did, and I spent that whole summer just like going back. I was smoking weed the entire time. Just like I used to be like famous for giving people gravity. Like I had this gravity bong in my room, so we would just rip GBs all the time. And so that was really like my era of GBs. Sorry before that, but then I came back. So that whole summer I spent smoking weed, lifeguarding, not lifeguarding. I pretty much just. We would just like play beer pong in the lifeguard rooms, or yeah, I would spend time in there smoking weed, or I wasn't even there. It was terrible. So anyways, that summer ends. I'm 18. I'm supposed to start. I was gonna start at a community college, so I went there. I went there for like 3 days. At this point, too, I had just gotten a job at TGI Fridays, as a server. And so yeah, I think after 3 days of showing up to class, I was just like, yeah, not for me. And I didn't. And I just like dropped out right then and there. And then, yeah, I was working at Friday. I was like, okay, I'm gonna save up some money and move to LA because I always knew that I wanted to live there. When I was younger, teachers would ask me, like, what do you wanna be when you grow up? And I was like, I wanna live in California. And they're like, well, that's not a career. And ironically enough, it like almost is here. But yeah, I just always knew that about myself. That was what I was sure about. Career wise, I wasn't sure. I always say this though, and this still stands where I'm like, I'm not sure what I want to do, or I have a lot of ideas and a lot of things. I have a lot of dreams, actually, a lot of aspirations. But my main goal is to always be able to support myself enough so that I can dedicate all my time to helping people. And that still stands too. So, yeah, I was working at Fridays. I started, at that point, somebody had given me painkillers. And it's weird because usually people go from painkillers to heroin. My first opiate I'd ever tried was heroin. And then, yeah, I was like, okay, so we were doing blues, which were Roxy's, like Oxy's. And then I realized, oh God, I'm addicted to opiates again. This is, I mean, I kind of like knew it right as even as I started snorting them. And again, I was snorting them. And with the heroin too, I want to note too, that entire time I was snorting it. And so East Coast heroin's different. East Coast comes these little things, you snort it. On the West Coast, it's this tar and you can either smoke it or East Coast, you snort it or shoot it. And then West Coast, you smoke it or shoot it. So anyways, doing those painkillers, and then shortly right, like after a month or two, I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna do heroin again. So I'm like doing heroin, working at Fridays. And then, yeah, May of 2010, because again, I graduated June 09. May 2010, I'm still 18. I moved, I sold my car, and I was like, okay, so now I'm moving to California. So I moved to LA. And I was withdrawing when I got there, and it was brutal. And my parents, nobody knew what was going on. I think my sister at this point did. Yeah, my sister definitely did. And it's very hard to like move to a new city and set yourself up and want to like get going when you're in with heroin withdrawal. So I had like gotten this cheap Honda Civic when I got there, and again, I was like, I had like sold my car here, and really like I spent a lot of money shipping all my stuff. I found an apartment on Craigslist, all the stuff, and after 3 weeks, I was like, I can't be here. I was still just like I was. It was just I was feeling awful. It was terrible. So I, a few weeks later, yeah, I packed my car up that I had bought in there, that cheap Civic, stuffed it with all my shit, and shipped it back to New Jersey. So I go back to New Jersey. This is now June. I just turned 19, and I went back to working at Fridays for a bit, and then right when I got back to was back to using painkillers and heroin. This was a weird time where I was kind of doing both. And then give me 1 second. And then I, what did I do? I started working at Cheesecake Factory for a second. That was a disaster. I remember I'd walk in and I'd be like, I would do this at a lot of jobs where I would just like, I'd be like, guys, I gotta go. I don't feel good. And like it would because I either was like dope sick, but I wanted to go get drugs, or I just like wanted to go get drugs or whatever. And they'd be like, well, and I would be like, hold on 1 second, and I would like pretend to go to the run to the bathroom and throw up, and they'd be like, you need to go home, and I'm like, I know. I just remember that I did that a lot at Cheesecake Factory. That was only like a 2 month thing. So I did that. And then this is the fall of 2010 at this point. And then that November, my parents were like, okay, he's going to rehab. So it's the first time I went to rehab. I went there after 13 days, my insurance cut out. My parents were like, we're not paying for this shit. And I was like, cool. And I had no, you know, I think at that point I probably did want to not do opiates, but like maybe not really. I definitely wasn't planning on being fully sober. That didn't come till way later. So I went to rehab at AMA or left after 13 days, and then the day I got out, I think that night I couldn't get anything. The next day I already started using again. And then my friend from LA, one of our good family friends, who shall go unnamed, was like, Jeff, I bought you a ticket back. Come back to LA, you can just live with me this time. And I was like, okay, cool. So it was another messy 2 months before I got there. I remember I'd crashed a car. I'll try to leave that as a separate story one time. Make a note for myself, Tiburon car crash. And then, yeah, January 9th, 2011, I flew back to LA. And at this point, I was kind of withdrawing again, but just not as bad as the first time. I kind of like knew not to do that to myself again. I was trying to not do that at all. I was like, you can't go to the withdrawing again. Obviously, I didn't have enough self-control. And so, yeah, I go there. I started working at this like weird doggy daycare on Sunset Boulevard directly across from the Chateau Marmont. And I remember I would like have to sit on the side, like outside in this little area, this fenced in area with them all day and just like do nothing. I was just supposed to sit there and watch them, and I would just sit there and smoke heroin because, yeah, 3 days after I landed in LA that time, I was like, well, I'm just gonna get heroin here. I'm not gonna just sit here and withdraw. And I went downtown and I found some guy. I went to like a seedier area, and I found some guy who I know looked like a dealer, you know, some thug. And I was like, yo, asked him, and then he became my dealer for the next few years. So yes, yeah, so then I was just smoking heroin on the side of this fucking dog place. That lasted like a month or two before I pulled some ridiculous stunt and walked in and quit. And then what happened? And then that situation had blown up with him, and so we kind of, what do? We had like an explosion one night. I came home from the hospital. I went to the hospital because I was having a panic attack. I thought I couldn't breathe. Who the fuck knows what was happening? And he kicked me out, threw all my stuff out. And I went to a cab with my sisters, and I was like, fuck, what do I do? I go to my sisters, and she's like, all right, we gotta figure this out. And at this point, I think I already was like 9 days clean. Like, I'd started getting clean again. And I went and stayed with my friend Kim for a little bit, for like a month in Orange County. Came back, moved into this sober living. My dad was like, okay, I'll pay for sober living for you to get yourself together. I moved into this sober living for a second. The first time I'm there, this guy was. He like stored dead body parts in a fridge outside, which is I still don't know the whole story, but I was like, come get me. I need to move to a different one. I moved to a different sober living. My roommate there was coming off of meth, like he was using, so he was coming off meth. He would come in and destroy the room, and it was a disaster. They moved me to a different room. That guy was actually shooting heroin, and I was just like, I can't. So I was like, Dad, I can't be in a sober living right now. So he like, I moved in with this like, there was this like Asian girl, and she had this studio. It was the smallest studio you'll ever see. And I moved into that studio with her. I met her on Craigslist. That ended badly after like a month. And then I moved into, so I was like, fuck, I need a place. So I find this place. I told this story with my friend Jeremy on like an earlier episode. I think it was episode 3 of this podcast. And it was this place in West Hollywood, and they had like sectioned off parts of the apartment. So there was like 8 or 9 people living in this 2-bedroom apartment. So I lived there for a few months. I got a job at this, again, like a doggy daycare, dog grooming place. Hold on a second. And it was this amazing woman who actually ended up helping me a lot. Did that, was kind of getting myself together. I had stopped using, yeah, I'd stopped using at that point for a little bit. And again, when I say stopped using, it was always like I was just clean from heroin. I was never like not drinking or anything like that. Although at that point, I feel like I wasn't drinking that much because the sober living was, I don't know what was happening. I don't remember. And then I got the job doing that. And then because of that, a lot of people would ask me to pet sit. So there was this kind of whole like neighborhood in LA that I was always like their go-to pet sitter. And I loved it because it was basically these like wealthier people that would pay me money to pet sit at their house. They would stock it up with food and booze. I was the worst because I would like go through their cabinets and take all their fucking medicine and yada yada yada. Take their cars all over the place. I mean, these were like cars to use in case of emergency, and I would take them to Riverside or wherever to like run drugs. Like it was not good. So I'm doing that. I'm still living in that 8 people and 2-bedroom apartment, ridiculous situation. So then that September 2011, I move out of there. Or no, I was still in that apartment. I got a motorcycle. I was like, I need transportation. And so I get this ridiculous sports bike. It's a Yamaha R1, if anybody knows what anything about bikes. It's a legit rocket ship. Like faster than a Ferrari type, like legitimately. And a couple days later, I spent one night. I stayed up all night smoking heroin, legitimately all night. And then at like 6:30 in the morning, I was like, all right, well now I got to go to work. So I take one gravity bong hit, and I'm like, let's go to work. I hop in this bike, and I'm going down Fairfax Avenue, and I go through the Wilshire intersection right by the Peterson Auto Museum, and I'm going south, and a car's coming north, and they go to make a left turn in front of me. And looking back, like I'm pretty sure I ran the red light. And I T-boned them, got ejected, flew up above the car. My body didn't even touch the car. Flew across the intersection and landed on my back. And I was wearing shorts and a t-shirt. I remember this woman coming up to me and being like the last sight I saw was this woman coming up to me. And then, of course, I was unconscious. And then I briefly remember waking up the ambulance and being like, hide my fake ID, hide my fake ID. Because I think my fake ID was in the back of my phone or something like that. Or no, it was my wallet, and I think the guy put it in the back of my phone, the nice EMT. Blacked out again, woke up in the hospital. And by the way, too, I had seen a few people in like the years after that happened to have seen that accident, and everyone thought that I died. And so I can only imagine how crazy it looked. I definitely know how crazy it felt on my body. So I wake up in the hospital. A cop walks in and he's like, hey, do you have your insurance? I'm like, no. He's like, registration. I'm like, no. He's like, motorcycle license. And I'm like, no, I had none of it. And mind you, too, I think I had heroin in my backpack, and obviously I was all fucked up, too. And he just looked at me, and he was like, you've had such a shitty morning that I'm gonna walk out and pretend this never happened. And I was like, thank God. Because, like I said, I could have gotten a DUI. Just the whole thing would have been a disaster. But obviously because of that, I couldn't, like, pursue any sort of lawsuit, and so I just kind of had to, like, eat it, the whole thing, whatever. And then I remember being like, wait a minute, how much is this costing me? And so, yeah, I was like, I didn't approve this. I can't pay for the ambulance, blah, blah, blah. And so I woke up in that hospital right after the cop came. At that point, they had already like put a cast on my hand and stuff like that. But I ripped everything off like they do in the movies, and I took a cab home. And I'm laying there, and my friend Jeremy's like, "What?" Like he just sees me like with a cab. He's like, "What happened?" I was like, "I got into a motorcycle accident, whatever." And of course, I left, and I just wanted to like get heroin to like relieve the pain. And what ended up happening was I broke my hand, I broke my ribs. It's a crotch rocket, so you know the gas tank is there, so you can imagine that that area wasn't great because I like slammed into it. There's lots of cuts and bruising down there. I can't even think about it actually, it's brutal. And then like shin, lots of bone bruises and things like that, but like severe permanent bone bruises in my shins from hitting the just yeah, it did a real number to my body. My back is really fucked up from it too. And so yeah, and then I move into this place in Burbank. And I've told this story on the podcast. I told it's like I moved in and there was a guy that died and it was dead and he died in the apartment above us and our apartment got infested with maggots and that whole thing happened. So then I move into this place in North Hollywood. I lived there for like 2 months, and at this point I had gotten another motorcycle. I sold my crashed bike for money, because it's still worth something, and I got this other motorcycle, another crotch rocket. And then I moved to, yeah, I moved to North Hollywood for like 2, 3 months, didn't like it. Moved that January 2012 to West Hollywood again, or Hollywood, whatever. And again, just have this motorcycle. Working at the dog place, doing heroin. And then February comes, and this is, yeah, this is where a change came in. I was working out at Gold's Gym, and I saw this guy. I kept seeing him come in, and I thought he was straight. I thought he was like straight. I thought he was a construction worker, or I don't know what I thought. He seemed very not what he ended up being. And yeah, it was this guy who I guess shall remain nameless. And we started dating. I remember I talked to him. We bonded over motorcycles. It was like, I think it was February 9th. And that night I was like, okay. And we went to a studio behind his, he had like a studio behind his house. We sat there, we smoked weed, and we listened to The Weeknd's the Trilogy album. This is even before it was the Trilogy, it was still in pieces. Smoked weed, and then like we started dating that night, and I slept over his house every single day for a month straight. Right after that, he lived right by the dog place that I worked, so it was all kind of convenient. And I stopped using for a second for like the first couple weeks of it, and then a couple weeks, and then I started using again. I was like, fuck it. And one day, this is maybe like March or April at this point, probably like April, 2012. I sneak away to like go get heroin and come back and make up this lie that I go to see my sister. He's like, "How's your sister's?" I was like, "Good." And I could tell he kind of knew something. And we're on our way to the gym, and he's like, "I know you didn't go see your sister." And I was like, "What?" And he's like, "I was planning your birthday in Vegas with your sister." And I was like, "Oh," so I felt like the biggest piece of shit. And yeah, so he found out that I was using, and we pulled to his house. He's like, "Get your shit, go." And I'm crying on his deck. And I'm like, "Please, please, please, no. Like, I'll do whatever. I'll do whatever." This is the first guy I'd ever dated. And I loved him. And this was just, yeah. And I was like, "Okay, no." And so he's like, "Here's what you're going to do. You're going to change your phone number right now." And this was like 2 in the morning. So I called Verizon. I changed my phone number. He's like, "You're going to change your phone number. You're going to call this person tomorrow. And we're going to get you into a rehab." And I was like, "I'll do whatever. Okay, cool." So I did that. And I got put on this waiting list. And he was like, "You have to stay sober. You can stay with me." He's like, "Move out of your place. Just stay with me until you get in." So I did that. I stayed with him, but I kept using, and it was frustrating. Then he would always be like, "Just try." You know, I was like, "Okay, I wouldn't." I would go a couple days. It was this whole dance of like where I'd use, then I'd try to get clean for 3 days, and it was just torture because I was always kind of in this slight withdrawal, and it was honestly brutal. And then I remember one day I was like, "Hey, I'm gonna stay late at work. I have to like do some stuff." And he's like, "Is that code for your you used?" And I was just like, and what I'd wanted to use, and I usually would lie, and I just thought, "Fuck it," and I just said, "No, but I want to." And he was just like, "Wow." And so I remember I slept in my work for 3 days, and then I had got accepted into that rehab. It's like a scholarship bed, and he was like, "Call me when you're." He's like, "Call me when you're, you know, in there for a few weeks and settle, then like we'll get through this." I'm thinking like, cool, we'll work this out. I go to that rehab. It was called Impact in Pasadena, and after 10 days I AMA'd, which means leaving against medical advice. I was just like, fuck it, I don't want to be here. I left, I went, I used, and then I show up at that gym and I'm like, "Hey," I see him, and he's like, "Are you fucking kidding me?" And I was like, "Hey." And so that was not great. Yeah, it wasn't great. And then I ended up moving. What did I do? Where did I live? This was 2012. Oh, so I moved in. I was like, at this point, I have nowhere to live, because I'd stay with him or live with him for a second floor rent rehab, and then he wasn't willing to speak to me. So I moved in with my boss, that lady that owned the dog place. And this is now, I guess, let's see, that summer was still a disaster. This is fall 2012. I go home. Sorry, I don't go home. I'm living with her, and I got clean for a second. I got clean for a couple months. I remember from like October 2012 to February 2013, I was clean that entire time. And like, I was always good at getting things together very quickly when I got clean. And again, I was still drinking, but just clean. And I was doing background work and extra work on different sets, where that's where you guys heard Annabelle and I talk about on the other podcasts. But I was able to also to like, I got a commercial talent agent, and I was able to like do little stuff. Like I had done a Converse commercial where I like made a lot of money that day, and I had done some really cool things really quickly. And I thought, okay, like I'm gonna do this. February 2013 starts. I start using again, and that time is like when it really came back with a vengeance. And again, when I'm using and I'm when this was happening, like this is me spending most of my time in Watts. Which, like, if you know LA and you know South Central, like, Watts is the worst of it. They used to call it Vietnam. I'd have to go through and they'd have to put, like, a towel over my head so I couldn't be seen. And, like, I mean, like, we were in a war zone. It was, like, a legit war zone. There's guns, there's always murders all over the place. Like, the whole thing was a disaster. I was always in the situations, like, I would get choked. I remember one time I walked into a hotel room because I walked into the room too early. I was supposed to wait outside, and, like, they choked me until I almost died. As like to scare me. And I'm like, okay, like that was like the situations that I was putting myself in. I was constantly just running around from like, I would go from Watts to downtown, because downtown is the sales floor. And then we would drive towards Mexico to meet other guys, because they were coming out from Mexico. And it was like me driving everyone around, the dealers and this, that, and the other. And like, it was just mayhem. It was just mayhem. And that was when I really started committing crimes and stealing and things like that to support my habit. Again, this entire time, I'm still living with that boss who was just, I think I had stopped working for her at that point. Yeah, because that previous summer, I worked at Revolver as a shot guy for a bit. So, and because of that, I stopped working for her, and then I was doing the background work. That's right. Okay. But yeah, it was just, that's when it got really, really bad. It was just me. Every single second of every day was like me trying to figure out how to get more money, whether it was a crime or doing stuff for the drug dealers, meaning, I mean, sometimes I would move guns around for them. It was whatever it was. And then, let's see, this is summer 2013. My sister and I actually went and we volunteered at this camp. We had to get accepted into it. I don't know how I got accepted, but I got accepted into this camp called Dream Street. Oh my God, you know what I forgot to touch on? The first time I got arrested. The first time I got arrested was when I moved back to LA and I moved in with that family friend in January 2011. In March 2011, right before we had that explosion, I got arrested for stealing at Kohl's and Torrance, and I got a theft charge. That was my first one. Forgot to touch that. Anyways, so moving back to February 2013. Where was I? What the fuck happened? Yeah, just being a maniac with those guys. And then what happened? Wait, why am I lost on this? That summer? Oh yeah, that Dream Street. So we volunteered at that camp. It was a camp for terminally ill kids up in Ojai. And I went there and I was kind of withdrawing the whole time, but I had Suboxone and was somewhat okay. That was a whole different experience. I'll have to tell that. I think my sister and I shared about that on one of our podcasts that she had done. And then that summer, I don't know why I can't remember anything. That summer into that fall, I guess just continued me being a disaster. January 2014 comes. I remember I went home to New Jersey for a month to kind of try to get it together, but just went there and used. Came back, moved in with my friend Jason. And then stayed with him for a few months. Again, all this still using. March, moved into this apartment, moved out after a month, moved into another apartment. Fast forward again, this is still just all using. And then by July 2014, all of a sudden, throughout this time too, I'm intermittently talking to that guy that I had dated. He was always just a heavy presence in my life, and we were never really dating again, but we were always still hooking up, and we never acted like we weren't dating. I'll say that. And so, yeah, then it's July 2014. I had this Honda Prelude and I crashed it. It was a disaster. And I thought, okay, I didn't have insurance on it. Hold on. And so I thought, okay, this is the final straw. I'm gonna go back home to New Jersey for a few months and try to get it together. So July 2014, I pack all my shit up. I go to New Jersey and I'm like, all right, I'm gonna detox, whatever. And it was, to this day, maybe one of the worst detoxes ever. I mean, my mom was just like, I don't even know how to help. It was just like, it was awful. It was actually awful. And I kicked for like 70 days, really. I mean, it took so long to feel normal again. It took months and months to feel normal again. But At that point, yeah, all of a sudden it's like, well, I didn't kick right away. I think because by like July, I went back to the end of July, and then for a few months, I tried to kick and then whatever. And then by like October or so, something set in, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna do this. Doing it, I was like working at some gym. And then December 2014, that guy that I had dated, again, who again was just this good friend at this point, is like, hey, my sister, fuck, I just realized I'm totally gonna give away who this person is. Fuck. You know what? Whatever. Well, I don't, whatever. So he's like, my sister started this company, and she needs help. And I was in New York City. My brother had lived there at this point in Manhattan, and I was there, and he was just like, cool, come meet with me, we'll figure it out. And so before I knew it, within like 2, 3 weeks, he was like, do you want to just work for her? This was Blake Lively's company. And I'm like, sure. And so we would stay up at her house in upstate New York. It's about an, not like upstate, but and then we got an office in Soho. And this is like January 2015, and I started working in Soho. And a lot of times I would stay in that space, or I'd stay at my brother's, or I'd stay at my friend Lauren's, who was my coworker at the time, or I would commute in and out from New Jersey. I'm doing well, and I guess at this point too, I'm like clean from heroin. My parents were like, okay, he's doing good. Like, he's working for her. He's in the city. Like, I was making good money. I was like, okay, working there for months. And then, but like, I was becoming out of control still. Like, I remember at that time was when I got really addicted to Ambien, or that had started. It wasn't the worst of it. And then by April or May or whatever it was, I think it was like May, my boss, who was that guy that I dated, found text on my phone. For between myself and another coworker, where we were just talking a lot of shit, and I mean, we were saying terrible things, to be honest with you. The whole situation was just very, it was a disaster. And so he looked at me and he's like, and I got like fired or quit on the spot. I'd already said too, like, I want to go back to California. That conversation started before he found the text, and I think he looked at my phone because he was annoyed that I said that or whatever. The girl who he found the text with got fired. The whole thing was a mess. And then I was like, okay. And so that ended. And I was like, all right, well, I'm going back to California. That was always the plan. I wasn't going to be there that long anyways. The only reason why I'd stayed was because I got that opportunity in New York. And so, but I start using again. And so then when I go back to California, this was like 2 weeks after I got fired. At that point, within the 2 weeks, I already had such a strong habit. I flew back with a ton of drugs. I used to fly on airplanes. There's so many different methods. I would either put them like, I would put the sometimes bags, because the heroin bags are very small, they're very thin, they're these wax fold bags, and I would put them all across my feet, in my socks. Like, people don't realize that doesn't show up in scanners or anything either. Of course, they brought dogs in for any of this, so I'd be fucked. So I would do that, or I would tape them inside my thigh. Sometimes I would empty them out and put them into pill capsules. Like, I'd empty Prozac pills and put them in there. It was crafty. So anyways, I go back there. This is now, yeah, May, whatever, 2015. I moved back in with my friend Jason, go back there. I got a job at James Perse, because at this point, my resume, this is like what is what kind of started my career in e-com. And I worked at James Perse first, because again, it looked great on my resume that I'd worked for Blake Lively. And then I started working at Charming Charlie, and these are both temp positions. This happened within a few months, but I was using terribly. Oh, and I forgot to say this too. When I was back in New Jersey at that time, when I flew back in 2014, when I flew back in July 2014, before I started working for Blake and all that, that's when I started shooting heroin. And that's when it took a different type of hold on me. And so, yeah, when I go back to California this time, when that had ended, this is, yeah, May 2015, when I was working for James Purse and Charmin Charlie, I'm shooting it at this point. And then when you're shooting tar too, it's a whole different disaster. It was clogging my veins, and it was just, it was really, really bad. And my arms were constantly bloody and just torn to shreds. And it was destroying my body. And I remember sending a picture to my mom. I was like, I have to come back. And she's like, you can't, like, we can't go through this again. You just did this. And I was like, I have to, I cannot do this. So I went back again. And this is now summer of 2015. And I come back again, start using right away, or don't stop using, rather. They're like, great, you're doing the same fucking thing. That September, I get arrested. This is like the first of many arrests. I get arrested in Newark, New Jersey for possession. It was possession of heroin, needles. There's a few different charges, to be honest with you. I forget. I was with this girl. they ended up, I got charged with all of it. She got charged with none of it. I don't know why, but it was not, it wasn't great. So I'm like, okay, still used. By November, I was like, all right, I'm gonna get clean. So I think at that point, I was like, yeah, I'll try to get clean. Kind of did, but at this point, all I was doing, I was at my parents' house and it was so dark. I was just taking Ambien all day. This is when I had my own prescription. My parents had them, everyone else had them, and I would take all theirs. And I ended up doctor shopping and getting, I had like 11 prescriptions for Ambien at one point. And I was taking, so I had at points taken up to like 70 or 90 at a time. Obviously, those were like very rare occasions, but like it was very common for me to take 10 in a day or 10 at a time. So that was that whole time. This is like tw now 2016. And then May 2016, my parents were like, okay, at this point, I was just like staying at their house doing nothing besides using drugs and being a mess. They're like, okay, go to rehab. I go to rehab. I actually completed it this time after 34 days. I leave. Within 3 days of leaving, I relapse. They're like, you're going back. This was like a week later. I'm like, no, I fought it, but I ended up go I went actually. I showed up to the rehab. My mom left. I caused a huge scene, had my friend pick me up. And then the next day I called and I was like, I'll go back. So then I go back again. And then I left again after 7 days. I just walked out my suitcase and I walked from Kearney, where the re Kearney, New Jersey, where the rehab was, to Newark. Panhandled, got money, got drugs, and then stayed with my friend Dustin, who passed away last year, unfortunately. He overdosed. I stayed with him for 2 weeks, and I remember I was just like, fuck, what am I doing? And my sister was like, okay, we want to get you back to out to LA. And my brother-in-law, who's actually the one that edits this podcast, has a band. And he was like, dude, come out with me. I'm going on tour again. Like, you can just stay in the RV with us, work for me, do your thing. And I was like, okay, cool. So I think he had bought me a ticket, or my sister did, or whatever. I'm like, cool, I'll fly back there. This is again August 2016. And I am a disaster. I think at this point, yeah, just taking tons of Ambien. I don't think I was using, yeah, it probably was. I don't remember if I was using, yeah, I was using heroin, whatever. And on the way to the airport, I decide to, and again, I had so many different like schemes and come ups, if you will, of like how I would get money, of where I was stealing things. And I don't need to like dive into all that. But yeah, on the way to the airport, I stopped to steal money for drugs. I'm like with my mom too, but she didn't know what I was doing. I had to like run in somewhere. Or no, she dropped me off somewhere and I said, then yeah, come pick me up here on the way and then we'll go to the airport. I forget the whole situation, it's all blurry. And then we're in this parking lot and my mom's standing there and she just sees me get arrested and she's like, what the fuck? And I'm like, what the fuck? And I'm like, no, sir, you don't understand. Like, I'm on my way to the airport. I'm going back to LA. That's where I live. And mind you, too, I want to say this too. When I got arrested that previous September, at that point, it had made me kind of stuck in New Jersey. I had to kind of try to sort out that probation. So it was already like a big issue. And then when I was gonna fly back, I had finally got it approved with my probation officer that I could like go and do the tour thing. So it's like a big thing. So yeah, I'm on my way there. I get arrested. And I remember they take me. I'm thinking like, all right, worse. I was like, because what had happened the previous 2 times I got arrested, like you just get ROR'd right away, which is released on your own recognizance. You kind of like get booked into the station, and then that's it. No. I got arrested for felony burglary, and they're like, your bail's 30 grand, and I was like, cool. And so I was like, obviously that's not being paid, so I guess I'm going to jail. And I go to jail for a few weeks, and then I think after a few weeks, something was happening, and like I ended up having money stashed somewhere. My parents put something together. You pay 10%. They paid 3 grand. They bailed me out after a few weeks. And I get out, and I'm like, okay. Obviously now I'm stuck in New Jersey. That whole thing of going to my brother-in-law or going on tour with my brother-in-law ended. And then I was like, okay. And I get a call, and I started working at this little photography studio right by my parents' house. I was doing retouching. I'd kind of learned some of that when I was working for Preserve, Blake's company. And so I'm doing that. I'm clean. I think, yeah, I was clean at this point, obviously, because I got out of jail. I was clean for a second. And then I remember I used a few times while I was working at the retouching studio, but like nothing terrible. But the episodes that I did were definitely nuts. Like they would send me home. They'd be like, something's wrong. And I'd be like, I'm having a bad reaction to medication. Like it was weird. And so I did that. And then in December of 2016, I actually, like, I had been applying to jobs. I knew the retouching gig was seasonal. And I got this job at this advertising agency in New York City, and it was like a great salary, and it was like a really, really good job. My parents were proud. I was really proud of myself. And I was like not really using, but again, just like really abusing Ambien and all that. And then I start there. This is New York City. I was commuting into the city every day, which I hated. I hate New York City anyways, especially in the winter, doing all that fucking bullshit. And I was working there for a few months, but like I quickly started using as New York City, so I had to go right. I would stop and get drugs in Newark on the way in, and it was bad. And one day, I think by that March 2017, I walk in. I was like, "Hey, I had used, and I was being like a maniac in the bathroom." And they heard these noises, and then I came out, and I was like, "Hey, I like can't do this." And they're like, "Okay, bizarre, but okay." So I quit, and then I go back home. My dad's like, "Great, you quit your job." I'm like, "Yeah," and I'm just heavily using again at this point. So it's the end of March. This is March 23rd, 2017. I get arrested again. I got a DUI. What had happened? I was on my way back from Newark, New Jersey, getting drugs, and like cops always, it was we call it DWW, driving while white. If they see you there, they know what you're there for. So he had followed me out of Newark, followed me onto the highway, pulls me over, and. I think like I don't remember what happened, but I think I thought I didn't do any sort of like sobriety test. It was just like questioning. It's always questioning and all this stuff and all these assumptions. But while he was questioning me outside the car, like a bag of heroin fell out of my sweatshirt. I think I don't. I think that's what happened. And he arrests me. I get put in jail. I get brought to the police station, and then I'm like, ugh. I think I'm just getting a possession charge. And then, no. And mind you, too, again, like that whole burglary thing that had happened previously, like that, I was dealing with a lot of legal stuff from that. So I'm like, okay, so yeah. But then they also, I didn't stay at the police station. They had to take me to jail again. So I go to the same fucking jail. I think I was only there for like 2 or 3 days this time. And I bail out. Or no, I didn't bail out. I got released. And when I get released, I realized that I got a DUI too. And I was like, what? I didn't even know I got a DUI, but I got a DUI and possession charges. So I was like, great. So then I'm like, okay, we'll add those to the list of what we're fighting. And then, yeah, and then I just keep using. At this point, too, this was a span of like from March 2017 till June 2017. I think I overdosed 3 times. My parents would just find me naked in the bathroom. I don't know what it was, but I would like go to get into the shower. I guess I was doing it too because I could hide from my parents. I knew they wouldn't walk in and I would shoot up and fall out, as they say. And there was like psych ward stuff then, and it was a disaster. And so there was also things like that had happened when I was working at that place in New York City. I remember one day I went on my lunch break, I shot up into Panera Bread, taken to the psych ward. I think I told that story on here before. So anyways, yeah, that's what I was doing after I quit the ad agency. And then those 3 months were a mess. And then by June 2017, I get arrested again. I got arrested for burglary, felony burglary again. So I'm like, okay, and then at this point, I think did they actually no, they didn't even set a bail. They had 2 detainers on me. I was under investigation for all this stuff. It was a whole disaster. I was like, fuck, what am I gonna do? Again, I had all these other charges pending. And I'm like, fuck. I thought I was gonna be stuck in there for like I thought I was gonna be stuck in there throughout like a trial and then going to prison. Like there was just these there's a lot of investigations going on, let's say that. And yeah, and then somehow after a week, I like had a public defender convince the judge to release me. I think this is, yeah, I was only in jail for like 8 days at that point. And they released me. I got out. I cashed in my commissary money and went and used. And I used for another week. And I think at this point, we're going into July. And no, another like 2, 3 weeks. And then like I was just like, I've had enough. Like, I don't want to do this anymore. And the last time I used heroin was July 17th, 2017. So I thought, okay, I'll stop using heroin. I'll at least get clean from that. And then I spent that summer, I was still like really abusing the Ambien and things like that and taking, Xanax and drinking, whatever. And I was kind of doing that, but I would always do a lot of that extra to try to like get through the withdrawals of the heroin. And at that point too, I started that seasonal gig at the retouching place one more time. Doing that, but I started having like all these really terrible health issues, like terrible, terrible pains in my body, like unbearable, like muscle pains and things like that. And at first, I'd gone to all these doctors, and then a doctor had misdiagnosed me. He's like, "You tested positive for an autoimmune disease. You have lupus or you have MS." And that really changed a lot of things. Like I was kind of like, what am I going to do? Like, this is going to really affect my life. Like, how am I going to deal with this? And again, there's still all these, the actual issues were happening. And so my mom had to help me like open water bottles and like help me put my shirt on. Like everything was difficult. It was like hurting to walk. Everything was difficult. My body was like falling apart. And then I was just like, all right, well, I'll do whatever it takes to try to like get better. And so I was like weaning myself off of all the meds and I was eating really healthy and doing my thing and whatever. And then we found out that like from a rheumatologist that diagnosis wasn't true. What he saw was like these weird immunoglobulins, and I have an immune deficiency, which that is true. But what was happening was I was having drug-induced lupus, which can happen from certain medications with certain people that have that. So I was like, yeah, I don't want this. So I wean myself off those medications. I'm working at the retouching place. This is now the fall 2017. And I'm like, all right, I want to get back to LA. And then obviously what had happened too with all those charges is that they just like kept adding like years and years of probation and community service and things like that, but also it gave me like time served. And I got very lucky is what I'll say. So it's fall and I'm like, I want to get my probation transferred to California. And they're like, there's like a 5% chance this is going to happen. Like, this doesn't happen with anybody that is in this like felony probation situation. And I'm like, I don't give a fuck. Let's do it. So we put it in. She's like, it's going to take a few months. So I'm finishing up my position at the retouching place. That seasonal gig again. It's like December, and at this point too, I've like slowly weaned myself. I really just like I had had enough. I was like, I don't want this life anymore. I'd weaned myself off Ambien. Even my mom was like, you don't want Ambien anymore? I'm like, no, I'm good. And I remember that Christmas we had people over, and I didn't really want to drink. And she was like, what? And I was like, I just want to be sober. Like I just want complete sobriety. And it was weird to me that I had say that. That I had even said that. I don't know why, I don't know what it was. But I had just had enough. And so I thought, you know what? Like, if this transfer goes through and I get to go back to LA, I'm gonna join AA and I'm gonna be completely sober. And I think it was like January 10th, I get a call and they're like, your transfer went through, you have to be there in a week. And I was like, okay. And so I flew there on January 17th, 2018. I landed there at night and I had one glass of wine before I got on the plane. And I was like, that's it. And that was the last drink or drug that I'd ever had. Because then the next morning, January 18th, 2018, I went to my first meeting and I've been sober ever since. And so, yeah, now I'm 2 years and a couple months sober. Like I said, I haven't done heroin in almost 3 years. And that was also right when I started this Instagram account. I started it December 2017, so like a month before I got sober. And that's why too, like I think when I started it again, it was because of something else. I wanted to relaunch this website that I had, and but like all the memes and stuff were different. They were all very drug and drinking based. And I think for a while, I kind of kept up the shtick of like, oh, I'm actually sober, and everyone knew that, but it was cool that I still made those. And slowly those have become just like so distant from me, and it felt inauthentic. And especially as my account has changed, all that felt inauthentic. And so now I don't really do those anymore. And again, I'm shying away from the memes and stuff anyways. Sorry, that just touches on the account a bit, but that's my story. And you know, it's been a wild ride in sobriety too. There's stuff that's happened. I think I've shared some of those sobriety stories on here as well. I think I said last episode that I have a funny story of me getting kicked out of a club to share in sobriety. But I hope that gives you guys a better idea of what I went through. Obviously, I couldn't go into like too much detail on everything, although I did spend longer than I thought. I think I what just like spoke for an hour. And I hope that you guys don't judge me based on anything that I've done on any of the crimes. Like, I think I was afraid to say the word burglary, and it was really the Alexis Nyers podcast that made me feel okay with saying it because she's so open. She's like, no, I did this, I did that. And she says those polarizing criminal terms because she's like, that's what it was. And so I'm okay with it too. And I think I was also afraid because I didn't want like anybody in my work related stuff to hear this, but it's whatever at this point. If this helps somebody, then it's important. And most of you guys know. And again, I'm not going to get like super descriptive about it. People are like, well, what were you burglarizing and this, that, and the other. Like, I don't need to go into all that. Some stuff has to remain private. But that's what it is. So I think there's a total, and I feel like there was another arrest too that like I forgot about along the way. I don't know. But I'm also still on probation. So like what they ended up doing was saying I could do all these things concurrently. And so I was on probation initially from that September 2015 arrest. And then I had just never gotten off because I kept getting arrested. And so finally, all of that will finish this coming September. And so that'll be September 2020. So it'll be 5 solid years of probation. So I'm very excited because the weight of that is a lot. I think I spoke about that recently with how I was relating to Luann. So anyways, I'm gonna wrap it up. And I hope that you guys enjoyed this, weren't bored. I hope it wasn't too dark. And again, please don't judge me. And I will see you guys soon. It's so much better.